Pastor Clifford G. Wilson.
God bless you.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
Amen.
Yes, Lord.
Amen.
Okay, you already have the subject and the passage that we're going to use. So everyone, repeat that with me. We will not come, but we will
proclaim Jesus.
The word of life. Amen. We will not complain, but we will proclaim Jesus. How many was reading the devotions of today and the word for you? Hallelujah. Remember that one about not complaining?
Yes, sir.
Woo! Did that kind of get you?
Yes.
Yeah, man, it hit you right here. Stop complaining.
Amen.
I know that the music wasn't as good as it should have been this morning, but don't you complain. Amen.
Amen.
If you decide not to complain, you change your attitude.
That's right.
Change your attitude. Okay, at the bottom of for Thursday, February 2nd, he said, don't let complaining creep in. Don't let complaining creep in. Y'all hear that? Say it with me.
Don't let complaining creep in.
Don't let complaining creep in. John Gordon says, my wife's friend Rachel stopped complaining about her job, the company, her lack of sales. I finally stopped her and said, it's simple. You have a choice. You can accept your company's new policies, come to work with a positive attitude, and be your best every day, or you can find a new job, all right? But whatever you do, stop complaining, because it's not going to do any good. Change your job or change your attitude. The conversation was over, and so was our friendship, I thought. Rachel wouldn't speak to me for how long? For a few months. Then I saw her at a party, and she told me she decided to take my advice. She stayed in her job, stopped complaining, and started selling more. 3 months after changing her attitude, her sales were up 30% a year. Later, they were up 70%. The other day, 3 years after our initial conversation, I caught up with Rachel and again and asked her how she was doing. She told me during the last 2 years, her sales continued to grow. She's been promoted twice and is now in her dream job. It's the job she always wanted, and she's more excited and passionate than ever. Is complaining sabotaging you and or your team? I was in a similar situation 10 years ago, but I learned when you stop whining and take positive action, you can start winning.
Amen.
The Bible places whiners and complainers in the same class as sinners who have spoken against God, grumblers and complainers, living only to satisfy their desires to get what they want. Instead, you should be full of faith, thanking God for his blessings and trusting him for the future.
Amen.
Now, listen, if you believe that I'm a man of God, anybody here believe I'm a man of God, raise your hand. Tell the truth now.
Amen.
All right, if you believe I'm a man of God, and I told you that this is what God has led us to, because we're not a huge conglomeration, all we ought to do is to be faithful And just like God was faithful with 3 sardines and 2 little pieces of bread, he fed over, 5,000 people. Amen. 2. Right. And so he fed them with 2 small pieces of bread. I know the English translation says 2 loaves, but when you check out the real Greek translation, it says it was like 2 little crusts. And it says fish in the English, but it says in the actual Greek Hebrew text that it was like sardines. So that's a big difference from fish and loaves, isn't it? But that's the original. Praise God. So when I say it, I'm not just talking off the top of my head. Praise the. So praise the Lord. So what God can do in His faithfulness with just a little. As a matter of fact, God took 12 men and changed the whole world. Praise the Lord. Amen. And I was listening to Crawford Larissa this morning. I'm going to preach in a minute. And I was listening to Crawford Larissa this morning. He says the cost of discipleship. And he said, listen, when he said, are you going to be a disciple? We gloss over that too easy. I'm going to get that message and share it with you even more. But we gloss over it. You know, you can make up your mind. But when you become a disciple, that means you don't have no life. Somebody said, no life. You know, you lose your life. And that's how it used to be when David was in there, right? Young girls would have babies out of wedlock. They couldn't go back to school. They couldn't do anything but keep them babies. And their lives were, in effect, ruined. Could come to a screeching halt, didn't it? The old mothers used to tell them, honey, you lost your life. You lost your life when you opened your legs. I know that's graphic, isn't it? But that's how the old folks women used to talk to the young girl. Straightforward. No glossing over. When you decided to do what you did, you lost your life. And that's why the world wants the right to choose. Because they still want to claim what's theirs is theirs. And they don't realize that God has set parameters for us. Hallelujah. You understand? And what the old folks, they couldn't explain it the way the new theologians can explain it. But what the new theologians are saying is sometimes they've gotten it a little wrong. We made it too easy. See, when I first came along, I mean, we couldn't wear anything but white shirts. And we had to get our hair cut. Praise God. And that's right, we only had 1 shirt. And you had to take it off. Listen, when I was growing up, Mom said, take them school shoes off, boy. Praise the Lord. 1 pair of shoes. Praise the Lord. It costs something to be a disciple. And I've been trying to tell you, as we've been entering in this year, there's a new emphasis, and I thank God for it. I know I may sound a lot harsher, quote unquote, than some people than I used to preach, but things are changing. Thank God He's changing me. Listen, I'm 67 years old in March, Brother Bonnie. And the scripture says, the Lord says you shall have 70. A score is how many years? 20 years. 20, 40, 60. 10, 70 years. If I'm 67, if I live out exact that parameter, guess what's going to happen? I only got three years. So I got to do and say whatever God said for me to say, quick, fast, and in a hurry. Praise the Lord. I got to be, as Jesus said to his mama Mary, I got to be about my Father's business. And so if I'm going to leave you, and I am, I'm not staying here. I'm going to leave you. I want to make sure that you understand what you need to know. Because when I stand before God, He said, Clifford, did you tell him? And if I haven't told you, praise God. He that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, is going to be whipped with a many stripes. I don't want that whipping. I want to tell you what God says. Amen. And I know I love you. And if you don't know that by now, if you don't know me by now, hit it, Brother Peter. You will never, never, never know me. Come on. Ooh. Thank you. Stop right there. That's enough. But folks, I'm saying, I went to church today and a party broke out. God bless you real good. Heaven smile on you. You love each other? Look at someone last time. Look at someone and say, I love you. I love you. Amen. Praise God. All right, God bless you. Come on, turn your attention back to me. All right, we said we proclaim a reliable word from a reliable source. And that's 2 Peter verses chapter 1, verses 16 through 21 in the New English Translation. That's what that NET stands for. Say it. New English Translation. It has nothing else to do, but that's all it is. Okay? And that's important that we do that today, because sometimes you hear scriptures quoted and you say, man, I didn't realize that's what that, I read. And I don't, that ain't in the Bible. And then you go to the old crusty King James Version, and you find it, and you say, oh, but that, but, oh, and it, but, and if you're real honest, and you're real fair, you look at it and say, well, let me, and say, now, I don't see it in the beginning, because last night, I had to go through about 6-7 versions to really grasp what it was saying in this translation, and I said, oh, because if you don't know it,
you can't tell
it. If you don't know it,
say it
so all of these people who haven't been here doing the Bible study will know. If you don't know it,
you can't tell it.
And if you can't tell it,
you can't sell it.
You don't know it, you can't tell it. If you can't tell it, you can't sell it. So if you're trying to sell Jesus, if you're trying to proclaim Jesus, you need to know what you're talking about. We're trying to proclaiming Jesus, who is who? We're trying to proclaim the word of life in this culture of death. We're living in a culture of death. Hello? Now, folks in Chicago should know that more than anyone else. Praise God. Amen? We're living in a culture of death. Folk want to die right away. And people are killing them. And they don't know why they're killing. You ask somebody why they kill, I'm down. Well, he disrespected me. Or he stole my drugs. Or he did something stupid that has nothing to do with eternity. Amen. Or life itself. Are you listening to me?
Yes.
And they don't know. I know they're grown, 16, 17, 14, 13, 12, praise God. But listen, that's like giving a little child a 357 Magnum as a toy to play with.
Yeah.
Nobody in their right mind would do that. So you know then there's something wrong with people today. And the scripture calls them the untoward, untoward. If you say un, if you put the un, the prefix un in front of toward, what does it mean?
Backwards.
We're living in a backwards generation. Backwards. Instead of staying dressed, they're trying to get undressed. They wear the pants all the way off the butt. Instead of putting clothes on, they're taking them off. Don't even mention the young ladies in the summertime. Praise the Lord. Hello. And I'm not being critical of anyone. I'm just making professions about observations. And that's my personal observation. Yours may be totally different, and you are not going to have an issue about that. All I'm doing is looking at what this says. And I'm telling you what I say that this says. And what I say is what Holy Spirit has said, as you shall see in the message. Okay, let's go to the scripture. Listen to me as I read this passage. First of all, what does it say? For. Starts with for. Just one word. The first word is for. All right? So that's giving us some kind of indication that there's going to be something else behind that. All right? So now we know he's going to have something to say. Let's listen to what he says. For we did not follow cleverly concocted fables when we made known to you the power and return of our Lord Jesus Christ. No, we were eyewitnesses of this. Amen? Praise God. We were eyewitnesses of this grandeur. Thank you. Of his grandeur. I'm sorry. Thank you. Now I'm going to read it again, this time without mistakes, I hope. For we did not follow cleverly concocted fables when we made known to you the power and return of our Lord Jesus Christ, we were eyewitnesses of his grandeur. Verse 17, for he received honor and glory from God the Father when that voice was conveyed to him by the majestic glory. This is my dear son in whom I am delighted. When this voice was conveyed from heaven, where was it from?
Heaven.
We ourselves, what? Heard it. For we were with him on the holy mountain. So that gives us an indication of what happened and where it happened. Okay? And when you read the Gospels, you'll understand it was on the mountain of what we call the Mountain of Transfiguration. When Jesus took James, John and Peter with him, and he went up on the mountain. And while he was up there, the Bible says that Jesus was transfigured. That means that he was like bright. His whole countenance just turned lighter, as one writer said, than fuller's soap. It was like so clean and so pure, perfectly white. Okay? So they saw it, first of all. And so now he says, verse 19, moreover, we possess the prophetic word as an altogether reliable thing. You do well if you pay attention to this, as you would to a light shining in a murky place until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. Above all, you do well if you do what? Amen. No prophecy of Scripture ever comes about by the prophet's own imagination. For no prophecy was ever born of human impulses. Rather, men carried along by the Holy Spirit spoke from God. All right? And this is Peter writing to the brother in the church. We have no indication of which church he was writing to. We surmise that he was talking to the church that was in Jerusalem, the regular main body. Praise the Lord. We don't know. But this was this message. And the reason for his writing was he was encouraging the people to understand and know that what they had been affirmed, what they had heard or read had been affirmed. They saw it with their own eyes. Okay? And so what he was trying to say is, look, what we saw, the eyewitness, and who we heard the voice from heaven was great. But if you go back to verse number 19, please. He says, moreover, we possess the prophetic word. He says, moreover, what we heard, the voice was conveyed from heaven. We ourselves heard it, for we were with him on the holy mountain. Moreover. And that word, moreover, has been translated in the New English Translation, but in some translations it says, but we have a surer, S-U-R-E-R, word of prophecy. A more sure word. You understand? So in other words, what he's saying is, what we had seen and heard was great, but what we have something even surer, that's better, is written. So everybody can see it. It was only me and John and James that saw it with our eyes and we heard it. And all we're trying to tell you is what we saw was wonderful, but what you got is even better. Are you listening to me? Oh, God, I don't know if you are. I don't know if you are. That's just an introduction. How much time I got? Thank you. I needed that. Because I was thinking I only had 2 hours, but praise God. As I lay in bed, I wrote, this came to me when I was still in bed. My wife leaves me early in the morning. She has to go out and face the elements and brave the elements and bring home the bacon. Thank the Lord for my wife. That's because I did it for 6 years. And she was so sweet and stayed at home to raise the children. When the Lord says it's time for me to leave the job, she says, okay, our roles are going to reverse.
Hallelujah.
You need to understand that sometimes things change when roles reverse. Amen. Can't always be the same. Hello. Can't always be the same. Sometimes things have to change. And what you have to learn to do is embrace change. That's why I said, and a lot of times preachers and people get mad at me when I said the reason that black folks still haven't made it any further is because we didn't embrace slavery. We should have embraced it. Why, Pastor? And I told you that many times, haven't I? Because God was giving us to understand that this economy that we live in today is an economy based upon service. And the words slavery and service and servants are interchangeable in Scripture. God was training us back in the 1800s so that we would be ready for the economy in the America today of 2017. We should be the best service at all. We should provide the best service. And I went to the restaurant with my wife and sitting, and we looked and said, do you see one black servant in here? They're all Hispanic. Remember when we used to be the service? Remember when we used to be the bus people, the bus boys with the tables? Remember when we used to be the best maids and the best babysitters? That has changed. Why? Because we refused to embrace what God had given us and looked at it down as from a lowly position. Folks too young to remember that mother. You're probably right. But I remember when I first came to Evanston, there was not one Hispanic, what they call them, landscapers. Every one of them were black. Try find one now. When we lose it, we lose what God gave us when we don't appreciate it, when we complain and whine. Oh, I know this is not a popular gospel. I already prerequisite by telling you folk are mad at me. I had an attorney said, don't you ever say something like that. We shouldn't embrace slavery. Praise God. And I'm telling you, what God put in your life was for a reason. What God put in your life is for a purpose. And you're going through some hard stuff now? Embrace it. Like this young lady did. She stopped complaining, and it changed her attitude, and it changed her whole life. And folks have taught you to sell out. That's okay. But those same people will come to you later and say, man, what happened? Or they'll send somebody else because they're too proud to come back and admit that they were wrong. And that's okay. You loved them anyhow. Like Jesus, he said, go and tell that fox. He knew who had sent those people to ask him. Praise the Lord. Amen? Amen. All right. I'm moving on. As I lay in bed musing over the building project, how many know what the word music means? Thinking about it. Deeply thinking about it. As I lay in bed musing over the building project, I was inundated with overwhelming thoughts. What kind of thoughts?
Overwhelming.
What's next? Question. Who does God want to work the plan? What is the plan? What must people think about my leadership and about me? What must I do? All of these thoughts and even more were turning repeatedly in my mind. Thoughts casting dark shadows designed to cause me great anxiety. Thank God for his calming word through Holy Spirit. Yes. The words of 2 Peter 1:21 pierced through the dark shadows of fear, doubt, frustration, and anxiety. And then it addressed the questions, the answers of which are imperative to God's plan for the building project. I'm laying there listening to all this. I mean, I hadn't written any of this. But hear the word. When I heard the word, the words that Holy Spirit whispered to me, these are the words I heard. Holy men moved along by the Holy Spirit. That's all. Just those words. Holy men moved along by Holy Spirit. That's what I heard, Brother Boney. And these words that I heard were familiar to me, Mother Davis. So I got up at that point and sought the reference in the Bible. I said, I know they're in there. And when I found 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 20. No, what it says in verse 20? Go to 20 for me. Here's what it says. Above all, you do well if you recognize this. No prophecy of Scripture ever comes about by the prophet's own imagination. For no prophecy was ever born of human impulse. Rather, men carried along by Holy Spirit spoke from God. Contextually. When I read this passage, in the context of what this is written, the Apostle Peter is referring to the prophecy that predicted the coming of the Messiah, Jesus Christ. The Apostle is reminding his hearers that he is speaking from his own personal eyewitness experience with the flesh and blood, namely Jesus Christ. He dealt with him. He dealt with the flesh and blood. Jesus Christ, of whom the ancient Jewish prophets had spoken about. These holy men did not speak from their own human will, these prophets didn't, but they were moved by the Spirit of God and spoke as he directed. Mother Davis, That's when the light began to replace. The light came on. Praise God. Thank God. Listen, brothers and sisters, that's when the light came on and it began to replace the shadows. And the questions became as, listen, the questions became as stilts. These stilts that lifted me, if you will, into the holy presence of God. That's what questions can become. Instead of being weights on your shoulders, it changed, Sister Angie. They became like stilts. And it was just lifting me up into the presence of the holy God. In the holy presence of God. Questions. All these shadows was replaced by the light of God's word. In God's presence, fear becomes faith. Want to write that down if you want. Or you can get the CD. In God's presence, fear becomes faith. Doubt becomes delight. And anxiety becomes excitement. Hallelujah. So, Brother Boney, as I was lying there and it was getting heavy, after a while, I got excited. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Shall I read that again? Yes. Now, all of this, you got to realize, when I got up and I said, oh, man, the light came on, I grabbed my iPad and I just began to type. And everything that I'm typing was just Holy Spirit just flowing. It was just like I was receiving text from heaven and I'm just repeating it. So you need to understand that this message to you today is straight from heaven. As always they are. But this one, man, it's just like it's hot off the pass, off the grill. Off the press. Off the press. Or hot off the breath. How do you like that? Hot off the breath of God. I'm not crazy. I just act that way. But I'm in good company, ain't I? Praise our God. The Bible says he'll take the simple things of this world and confound the wise people. That's why Donald Trump won, because God says, I'm going to prove to you all folks, you'll think everybody's simple. Boom. And all of the pundits, all the people on TV, everybody was stunned. And they're still thinking that the Russians had something to do with it. They're still trying to find out. And God is still stable. God keeps saying, can you? Who's in charge here? Come on. You can vote, but God is the one who decides going to be the president. Y'all don't believe it. I know you don't believe it. That's okay. That's all right. But I'm telling you right now that God makes the sun to shine. The scripture says, it says the heart of the king is in the hands of God. And just like the river, he turns it and makes it move wherever he wants to go. And if you truly believe that, that's why I keep challenging you. If you believe that Donald Trump is wrong, man, pray. Pray. Or stop talking about it. Because you're talking and complaining ain't going to do no good. You can march until the cows come home. It ain't going to change nothing. And if it does, it's going to change it for the worse. It ain't going to make it better. Poor Dr. King got killed. Here we are. How many years later? Listen to me. I'm trying to tell you. And stop looking at people. Don't look at people. Praise the Lord. And that's what God keeps saying. Can you hear me? Stand up, Brother Gerald. You're the smallest one, so I can. No, you sit down, because you're hurting. No, you sit down, too. Good. You're hurting. Come here, Charles. Yeah. You hurting? Well, you're going to hurt some more. This is the world. I'm God. Let me have it. Can you give me? Let me have it. Can you hear me? Give it away. Yo, give me a little resistance. Can you hear me? No.
No.
Yeah. That's what it is. And folks don't want to hear it, don't want to understand. Oh, they got to get so deep and theological. But it's plain and simple. God is in charge and he's trying to tell us something. And so if you can't hear him, he just twists it a little more. Katrina, 9/11, ISIS. And you remember when you used to play, call me uncle, and you keep saying, ain't somebody. Call me uncle. That's as simple as I know how to put it.
It's no simpler than that.
Hallelujah. Don't still lift us up into God's presence. And in God's presence, fear becomes faith, doubt becomes delight, and anxiety becomes excitement. Now you may ask, what does this ancient prophecy of Jesus have to do with the current building project? Especially since the passage clearly states that no scripture, right here, here. And I said how it's in the King James because how you said, Mother David, cut your teeth on King James. And the King James version, it says no scripture is given. How's it read? No scripture is of any private interpretation. Yeah, no scripture is of any private interpretation. You know, private means that it's yours alone and nobody else, okay? So that's what, but it translated here like this. You do well to recognize this, that no prophecy of scripture ever comes about by the prophet's own imagination. Okay, you got that? It don't come by your own imagination. So I'm lying in bed musing and I'm start thinking, Lord, all these questions that was coming, what's going to happen? What's next? Who does God want to work the plan? What is the plan? What does people think about me? Am I moving fast enough? What about me? What about my leadership? Am I? All these questions flooding my mind, inundating my thoughts, repeating himself over and over again. You need to understand that being in a position of leadership is not a piece of Rudy poop. You gotta be committed. You gotta make a decision that whatever you're gonna do for God, you gotta be ready to face the opposition. Amen. And don't be ashamed to understand that sometimes the opposition may catch you unaware and knock you even down. Take advantage of that while you're down. Pray. And while you're down there, get up with strength in the Lord. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. So all these questions were coming. And then Holy Spirit whispered, in the midst of all that, no thought, no prophecy. And how am I not seeing? What God, listen, I speak now prophetically. What God has said for Mount Pisgah is what God has said. Can I say it again? What God has said for Mount Pisgah is what God has said. That sounds like double talk, I know. But for those who understand God, you understand. Let me get on. I read it. You may ask, what does this ancient prophecy of Jesus have to do with the current building project? Especially since the passage clearly states that no scripture is of any private interpretation. I admit on the surface, it appears that is exactly what I have done. Applied my own private interpretation. However, a close examination of the text, specifically verse 19, will reveal more enlightenment into God's encouraging message to me relative to my concerns about the building project. Let's look at 19. 19 says, moreover, we possess the prophetic word as an altogether reliable thing. You do well if you pay attention to this as you would to a light shining in the murky places until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. So what is he saying? He's saying, Peter's declaring that his personal experience was great, but we have a more sure word or a more confidence in the words that were previously spoken because of his experience. He's saying, those words that were spoken before I experienced it, what I experienced confirms and affirms those words. So in effect, that's more important than what my eyes saw. Because what my eyes saw and what our ears heard, folk, praise God, can always understand. As I'm speaking to you now about the excitement that I received after hearing this word and started to research it and study it, I got excited, but you cannot get that same excitement unless you understand what I'm trying to say to you is forget the how it came to me, but realize that what I'm saying is the message. Not how I received the message, but understanding the message itself. The word which I received from this passage that is specific to me for the building is, just as Holy Spirit moved and spoke to and through the ancients, I can expect that our omnipresent, omniscient, omnipotent, eternal, unchanging God will do the same for me. Now that's what he said to me. I want to read that again because you need to understand this is directed to me. And if it was directed to me, since you and I are one, it's directed to us. Listen to, this is the Holy Spirit. Because I was saying, well, Lord, what are you saying? What are you saying? In my mind, I was thinking about these developers whom I have to deal with. And I told one developer what the Lord said to me, and he says, oh. But it was a sarcastic oh. It was not an oh of in awe or in reverence. And as a matter of fact, as that meeting ended, he says, since you can hear since you can hear from the Almighty, or since you get messages and you got a connection with the Almighty, we need that because we're going to need all of the help we can get. You know, he wasn't being genuine. He was being sincere, but not genuine. You understand the difference? People can be sincere, but not genuine. Y'all understand the difference? And so, praise the Lord. And so when I speak like this, and I was thinking, Lord, if I tell them, because he said, well, how much money y'all got? When I told him, he said, uh-huh. Praise God. It wasn't no big deal for him. He probably made more than that just sitting there thinking. Praise the Lord. You understand? But listen to me very carefully. So what Holy Spirit was saying to me, just as Holy Spirit moved and spoke to and through the ancients, I can expect that our omnipresent, what does the word omnipresent mean? Always present. Our omniscient, what does omniscient mean? Knowing everything, all knowing, all present, all knowing. And our omnipotent, what does that mean? All powerful. Got it? So I can expect that our omnipresent, omniscient, omnipotent, eternal, what does eternal mean? That's just a redundant word, isn't it? For the word omnipresent means eternal. All right, but I just added that in for effect. Unchanging. All of these adjectives. All of these adjectives describing our God. So our omniscient, omnipotent, eternal, unchanging God will do the same for me. He moved on the ancient. He'll do the exact same for me. Are you with me?
Yes.
Therefore, I will expect to hear from God. Is that right, Mother? When I'm supposed to know what I'm supposed to do, I'll hear from God. So I was laying there, Lord, what should I do? What is going to be next? What's next? So whatever it is, Brother Charles, I can expect. What a blessing it is to me to realize that I don't have to stress out over trying to figure out what's next. All I need to do is walk in the presence of God and allow those questions that come to become stilts. Praise the Lord. To allow the light to come. Praise God. Therefore, I will expect to hear from God to speak and move as he directs. Now listen, I am fully aware that those around me, especially those who have not had their minds trained to understand the ways of God, will clearly have no understanding or be able to fully receive and accept the message. I already know that. So I can't allow how they look or even their sarcasm to detract or distract me at all. Okay? Notice what Hebrews chapter 5, verse 14 says. You don't have it, so just listen. Solid food is for those who are mature, who through training have the skill to recognize the difference between right and wrong. I'm going to read again. Hebrews chapter 5, verse 14. Solid food is for those who are mature, who through training have the skill to recognize the difference between right and wrong. Only those, these are my words, only those who know God will understand if what I am saying is right or wrong. Amen. If you don't know God, you won't understand what I'm saying is either right or wrong. Do you realize that? So when you talk to people in the street, They have no clue. And the devil makes a fool out of them. He even makes jokes about them. Richard Pryor. Which way is? All the time. He mocks you. The devil mocks folk. That doesn't come from God. Psalm 116 said, God will not always chide. In the King James, C-H-I-D-E, chide. When you look that word up, it says, God doesn't bring up the past. He doesn't. When God forgives you for your sin, and he says, when our sins are forgiven, it's like they're thrown in the sea of forgetfulness, as someone said, and he remembered them no more. But, God doesn't do that. So if you're saved right now, and this is a liberating truth. So if this has been happening to you, this word is for you. So you just raise your hands in acknowledgement of that truth and receive the forgiveness, praise our God, and move on. You don't have to prove anything to anyone else. But here's what it says. If the devil brings thoughts to your mind about stuff that you've done, you've already asked God to forgive you for it, but before you know it, and when you get down to prayer, it always comes back to you. You're always thinking about this, but you've done what God told you to do. But the enemy brings it up. From now on, don't receive it. Just take what God says. The scripture says, whose report do you believe? Whose report do you believe? God says, I'm free. The Bible says, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty, there's freedom. So if God is speaking that to you right now, and there's a liberating truth for you, raise your hand and praise God in affirmation to what God is saying and move on. Praise God. Thank him, Paul. Thank you for the truth that sets you free. You shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free. Now, the truth is not a set of data, a dogma, a word. The Bible says when Jesus was standing before Pilate, Pilate says, what is truth? Pilate asked Jesus, what is truth? And Jesus had already said that back, hallelujah, to his disciples, says, I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. So you have to realize that when you're talking about truth, truth is not a set of information, a dogma, or praise God, a data. Truth is a person. Truth is a person. So you say, what is truth? His question really should have been, who is truth? Truth is Jesus Christ. Are you with me? So only those who know God will understand if what I'm saying is right or wrong. Only those who know the truth is going to understand if I'm misinterpreting what God said, or if I'm taking the word out of context to make it fit my situations. And all of these are valid and fair questions. My response to those questions is, again, what the Holy Spirit says. Holy men moved by the direction and command of God, and what they spoke came to fruition. That's my only response. I cannot defend what God says. Listen to me very carefully. You cannot defend a lie. I'm going to say it again. You cannot defend a lie. Bishop Moody said many, many years ago, you can only outlive a lie. You can outlive it. Because listen to me. If someone came to me and said something about Sister Vallon, and she's my friend, I'm not going to believe it. All right? If someone came to me and said something to her and said, Pastor said that about you, if she knows me, she's not going to believe it. And what she's going to believe is that this person who brought the news is a liar. Amen. Praise God. So in other words, my friends won't believe you, and your friends won't believe me. You cannot defend a lie. Amen. Praise the Lord. Are you with me?
Yes.
Period. So you just have to outlive a lie. So if Donald Trump is a liar, live 4 more years, and you'll outlive it. Hello?
Amen.
Stop complaining. Stop whining. Just keep living. And if you live the way God wants you to live, it might not have to be 4 years. Now, I'm just messing around. That's all I'm doing. Just kind of, but you get what I'm trying to say. The point is that stop whining. Complaining. Do what God wants you to do and allow God to move.
Amen.
Okay, my only response to them is what I just said. And I know that Holy Spirit is still moving today, and so since he is moving today in the text, it says right here. See this? Read it. Amen. Praise God. I know that the Holy Spirit is still moving today, and we will do well if we pay attention to his move, as we would to a shining light in a murky place, until the day dawns and the morning star rises in our hearts as the building project rises into fruition. Father, I thank you for sure word of hope, faith, and assurance. You've spoken the times past, and I believe that you're speaking today. Please let your will be done in me and in all the earth for your honor and glory and praise. In Jesus' name I pray. Praise God. Now, I realize that you think, well, this message is only about the building project. But guess what? What applies to the building project for us may be applying for you personally within something else in your life. That's what I say when it's not of no private interpretation, but God uses his word in different manners and different ways. In other words, the same God that put Josiah on the throne. Y'all remember Josiah? He was a great reformer in Israel. He changed things when people were doing wicked. He changed and turned the whole nation back to God. The same God who put Josiah on the throne is the same God, listen to me, the same God who put Josiah on the throne is the same God who put Pharaoh on the throne. Y'all remember Pharaoh who treated the Israelites real, real bad? It was the same God. Same God put Pharaoh on the throne is the same God who put Josiah on the throne. And since God is the one who's in control, praise God, all we need to do is follow Christ and let God be God. And let God be God. Embrace the changes in your life. Embrace the hardships, especially the hardships, because you learn more from your failures than you do from your successes. Would you stand with me, please?